Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper for the week of Sunday, April 10th, 2022. I'll begin by reading local articles, and should we have more time, I'll read sports, local sports, as well as any particular state articles of interest. Three charged in Grape Creek robbery. More details released. By Elena Edgen, published April 14th. After multiple burglaries in Grape Creek, which included a resident being shot at, three people could be sentenced to prison, according to court documents. About 1:50 a.m., January 28th, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies arrived to the 8900 block of Ballard Road in Grape Creek for a report of shots fired. A resident had been alerted by a friend that her vehicle was being burglarized. When she went to check, a person started to flee and she pursued. The person then turned and fired a gun several times at her, records state. While investigating, deputies received multiple reports of theft from vehicles in the area, which all happened that night. They also found 11 shell casings from a 9mm gun, according to arrest affidavits. The following day, San Angelo police stopped a vehicle and recovered a black Zagana 9mm gun. The three men in the vehicle spoke with investigators, records state. Tony Enrique Rios told an investigator that he, along with Benita Blanca Inguez, Joe Brandon Ortiz, and two other men, went to Grape Creek to burglarize vehicles. Inguez drove them in a blue Jeep, and she told investigators she was the driver, according to court documents. Rios stated it was partially his idea to go to Grape Creek, and he provided addresses, according to arrest affidavits. And Inguez stated it was Rios's idea because he needed money. During several interviews, witnesses stated Ortiz had a gun and shot at people. Ortiz told investigators that when the woman left the house, he got scared and fired several rounds, records state. As the investigation continued, authorities found one of the stolen items, which had been sold to a store by Rios, according to the affidavits. Between January 29th and February 11th, Inguez, Ortiz, Rios, and an unidentified juvenile were arrested on suspicion of aggravated robbery. Ortiz was also arrested on suspicion of possession of marijuana, minor in possession of tobacco, and a warrant. Rios was also charged on suspicion of possession of marijuana, three possessions of controlled substances, driving with an invalid license, possession of drug paraphernalia, and three warrants. Rios remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $182,162 bond as of 1:15 p.m. Wednesday, April 13th, according to online court records. Indictments filed in March charged Inguez, Ortiz, and Rios with aggravated robbery. This is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been scheduled in early May, according to online court records. Former San Angelo bond officer arrested after forged police report used to avoid rent. By Elena Edgen, published April 13th. After the owner of a leasing company received a suspicious police report, a former Tom Green County bond officer has been arrested, according to an arrest affidavit. A man leasing a property told the company his vehicle had been burglarized and his rent money stolen. The company asked for a police report, which he provided, according to court documents. The co-owner of the company had suspicion to its validity and reported it to police. Officers looked at the handwritten SAPD arrest report and booking form, which the department stopped using in 2005, records state. The documents had correction fluid or correction tape on it to create blank spaces for new information to be written in. An officer who was listed on the report stated that their name, identification number, and initials, but the rest of the document had been forged, according to the affidavit. A search of the police department's work list showed the officer and their unit was not working on March 11th, 2022, the time of the alleged burglary report was made, records state. Police spoke with the man who told investigators he got the old report when he worked as a bond officer at Tom Green County Jail. He stated he used correction tape and hand-wrote a fictitious report, texted it to the property company, and deleted the message after so he wouldn't get behind on rent, according to the affidavit. Raul Vaquera de Leon, 51, was arrested early Tuesday on suspicion of tampering with the government record, defraud, harm. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $7,500 bond as of 10 a.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. San Angelo man could spend decades in prison after woman, 83, reports assault. By Elena Edgen, published April 13th. A San Angelo man could spend decades in prison after two women, one of them 83 years old, reported being assaulted, according to court documents released Tuesday, April 12th. On December 5th, 2021, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies arrived to a reported domestic disturbance in the 8100 block of North U.S. Highway 87. Two women, both with injuries, reported a man assaulted them, records state. The older woman stated the man arrived at the residence and accused her of stealing from him. He then punched her in the left shoulder, sending her to the ground. The man squatted over her and punched her in the abdominal area, according to an arrest affidavit. Another woman attempted to intervene and was also pushed to the ground, where her hand started bleeding, records state. The man had been previously convicted for family assault. Russell Lee Woods Jr., 45, was arrested December 6th on suspicion of assault on a family member with previous conviction, criminal trespass, and a parole violation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $72,500 bond as of 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 12th. An indictment filed in February charged him with assault on a family member with previous conviction and injury to an elderly person with intentional bodily injury. Both are second-degree felonies and have been enhanced to a habitual offender status. The status comes from his prior convictions for assault of a family member in September 2002 and retaliation in 1997. Habitual offenders could face between 25 to 99 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for early May, according to online court records. San Angelo City offices closed for Good Friday. No interruption in trash services. By Rosanna Frere, published April 13th. Most of San Angelo's city offices will be closed Friday, April 15th in observance of Good Friday. One exception is Fort Concho, as its visitor center in Barracks 1 will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Good Friday and Saturday. The fort will be open from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Easter Sunday, April 17th. Self-guided tours are available all weekend. The San Angelo Nature Center will be open from noon to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 16th for its Easter extravaganza. Among the city operations that will be closed Friday, April 15th, Animal Services, Animal Shelter, City Hall and Community Development Building, City Hall Annex, Fairmont Cemetery's Business Offices, Municipal Court, Parks and Recreation Offices, San Angelo, Tom Green County Health Department, Southside and Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Centers, Station 618 and Santa Fe Crossing Senior Centers. There will be no interruption in trash pickup or landfill operations on Good Friday. The Women, Infants, and Children, WIC, offices, which are normally closed on Fridays, will also be closed Thursday. Offices will reopen at 7 a.m. Monday, April 18th. School counselor alerts police to child sex abuse in San Angelo. One charged. By Elena Edgen, published April 13th. A note to a school counselor led to an investigation that uncovered years of child sexual abuse in San Angelo and one arrest, according to court documents released Tuesday, February 12th. In October 2021, a school counselor received a student's note describing a sexual assault. The child told investigators a man started assaulting them in April 2020, and the last time was around September 30th, 2021, according to an arrest affidavit. The man told officers he had been assaulting the child since April 2020, approximately two times every month, until September 30th, 2021, records state. The indictment, filed in February, stated the abuse continued from April 15th, 2019, through September 30th, 2021. Jose Dominguez Ramos, 50, was arrested October 5th on suspicion of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $150,000 bond as of 2:45 p.m. Tuesday, April 12th, according to online court records. Ramos was indicted in February on the same charge, which is a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has not been scheduled as of 3 p.m. Tuesday. Vermont man charged in connection to San Angelo child sex abuse case from 2015. By Elena Edgen, published April 13th. After a report of a sexual assault from 2015 in San Angelo, a Vermont man is facing multiple felony charges, according to court documents released Tuesday, February 12th. On August 16th, 2021, police received information about a child sexual assault from 2015. The person who reported the sexual assault was 13 at the time and had been at a friend's home for a sleepover, records state. While at the sleepover, the child and adult were in a tent when the sexual assault reportedly occurred. A witness corroborated the person's report and told investigators the witness saw the sexual assault, according to an arrest affidavit. Vermont State Police interviewed the man, who stated he did stay with the two children in a tent, but a sexual assault didn't occur, according to the affidavit. Kevin Michael Godfrey, 43, has been indicted by a Tom Green County grand jury. The indictment, filed in February, charged him with continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 years old and sexual assault of a child. The continuous charge, which reportedly occurred from February 7th, 2015 through June 12th, 2015, is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. This includes indecency by contact and four aggravated sexual assault charges. The assault is a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years in prison. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for late April, according to online court records. Helen Tilly Chandler made San Angelo a better community. By Dedra Butler, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published April 12th. In 2018, when myself, Judge Barbara Walters, and another dear friend, activist Julia Stout, nominated Helen Tilly Chandler as a 2018 Woman of Distinction, I had one complaint. How had we overlooked honoring Tilly's contributions and service to her community? She has left an indelible legacy in El Paso, where she grew up, moving to San Angelo, the town that she came to love, in the late 70s. Tilly was a force to be reckoned with for her work in education, civic pride, art museums, and historical celebrations. San Angelo is a better community because of the fearless advocacy and volunteer efforts of Tilly, who died March 22nd at the age of 85. She devoted her life to making her community a better place to live. Throughout her life, Tilly was a force for good, working through problems and obstacles which most people see as insurmountable. Tilly always found a way. As a young woman, Tilly volunteered many hours with the Junior League of San Angelo. She helped to establish Volunteers in Public Schools, VIPS, for San Angelo Independent School District. This program has enriched countless elementary school children by giving them extra attention from a caring adult. Hired by Fort Concho's former director, John Vaughn, in the 80s to help raise funds for the fort's restoration, Tilly envisioned Christmas at Old Fort Concho. Because of her incalculable visionary skills, here we are some 40 years later, and this event remains a San Angelo tradition. For years, Tilly and her late husband, Burton, volunteered at Holy Angels Catholic Church to chair the Rite of Christian Initiation, RCIA program, which would bring new people into the Catholic Church. This she did despite operating a full-time business. Tilly spearheaded the Santa Angela Project and the beautiful sculpture outside the Visitor Center, which represents St. Angela de Mercy, our city's namesake, teaching a young girl. A few years back, she founded the San Angelo Historic Beginnings Project. She chaired the committee that conducted a national search for sculptors who could depict the Lady in Blue and her appearance to the Jumano Indians. Hence, that project is complete and sits on the banks of the Concho River for all of us to see and enjoy. Having left this kind of mark, I thought, how is it that Tilly Lowenfield Chandler had not already been named a Girl Scout Woman of Distinction? In 1958, as an El Paso provisional, she received her first Junior League Award. She wrote her first grant proposal for a special adoptions department after seeing the problems caused by lack of funding, which was awarded, allowing the agency used to place more than 30 children in the first 18 months of operation for an understaffed child welfare office. In 1995, Tilly was awarded the Mary Harriman Award for her work in the San Angelo Junior League. She has paid her dues over and over again, as she was highlighted in an issue of Texas Monthly in an article with the headline, "Putting the San in San Angelo." No doubt about it, Tilly established herself as a woman of distinction a long time ago. Having known Tilly Chandler for some 40 years, I was honored to be invited to her 80th birthday bash 5 years ago, held at the Fine Arts Museum. It was something to behold, as hundreds of well-wishers came from near and afar. I've never seen so many dignitaries saying, "Thank you, friend," to Tilly Chandler. Bob Luthart, director of Fort Concho National Historic Landmark, shared, "Tilly is the reason why I came to Fort Concho." In 1981, she held down three positions at the fort: education, public info, and special events. She insisted to her boss, and my future boss, Vaughn, that she shed the education job and it be made a separate position. It was posted in the fall of 1981. Tilly was among the many staff, board, and volunteers I met in November 1981 when I came to interview. She was quite the sales lady. Indeed, when I told her I was heading to Lubbock for another job interview at the museum at Texas Tech, she noted that the nearby Ranching Heritage Center had a Christmas event. She asked me to gather info on the event because Fort Concho was creating a Christmas event in December of the next year. She said, "Such info would be helpful in my work at the fort." Only problem, I had not accepted the job. Years later, I reminded her of her presumptuous request and asked how she figured I was accepting the job. She replied, "Oh, I knew. Bluthart continued, "Her Christmas at Old Fort Concho remains visible so many years later and represents the one event that defines us to the region and state. She had a vision like no other. Julia Stout said, I've been blessed to call Tilly Chandler a friend for four decades, having met her in 1980 as a volunteer for Christmas at Old Fort Concho. My mind's eye can still see Tilly, dressed in floor-length frontier calico, charging across the fort's parade ground with clipboard in hand, making sure all events went off on time. Her smiles and enthusiasm were contagious. She had a gift for envisioning a program where there was none and bringing it into fruition. Her leadership played a key role in the establishment of the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts. In addition, the removal of a public elementary school from the Fort Concho parade ground and public sculpture projects, Los Dos Angeles and the Lady in Blue Historic Beginnings of San Angelo, lamented Stout. Stout, Bluthart, and myself all agree that Tilly Chandler has left her mark all over San Angelo, and more important, on all of us fortunate enough to have known and loved her. Much like there is no doubt in my mind that she is a woman that has distinguished herself, she was a saint among us, sent by God. Taco Bueno closes one of its San Angelo locations, by Rosanna Frere, published April 12th. Taco Bueno has closed its doors at one of its San Angelo locations. Due to continued staffing issues, this location is now permanently closed, a sign posted on the door at 5590 Sherwood Way stated. The fast casual Tex-Mex chain restaurant opened on Sherwood Way in 2019. The Taco Bueno at 330 West 9th Street in San Angelo remains open. Man arrested in Zavala County vehicle chase charged for murder in Big Spring. From staff reports, published April 11th, Big Spring. A vehicle chase and crash southwest of San Antonio led to the arrest of a man in connection with the death of a local woman, the Big Spring Police Department said in a news release Monday. The investigation began after a Texas Department of Public Safety trooper in Zavala County attempted a traffic stop of a pickup driven by Timothy Michael Ging, 58, at about 7 p.m. Saturday. The driver allegedly refused to pull over, and the trooper pursued until the truck crashed. Ging was taken into custody, the release said. During the investigation of that incident, the release said, law enforcement had reason to check the welfare of Guadalupe Miranda, 68, of Big Spring. Big Spring police at about 7:25 p.m. found Miranda's body at a residence in the 1500 block of Vines Avenue, the release said. Investigators believed her death to be suspicious and obtained a search warrant for the residence. The next day, Big Spring police obtained an arrest warrant for Ging for the charge of murder. As of Monday, the release said, Big Spring police detectives were in Zavala County processing evidence, with Ging scheduled to be transported to Howard County. The investigation is ongoing. Easter events in and around San Angelo this weekend, by Rosanna Frere, published April 12th. The eggs are stuffed with candy, and everyone is waiting for the hunt to start. Don't know where to get your egging on? Check out our list of bunny photo ops, hunts, and other events in San Angelo. April 15th. The Easter Bunny will be at First Community Federal Credit Union from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for free photos. April 16th. Hip Hop Cactus Market Days is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cactus Hotel in downtown San Angelo. There will be local art and craft vendors, belly dancers, the Easter Bunny, food, live music, and more. For more info, call 325-949-6200. Cristoval Chamber Easter Egg Hunt will begin at 10 a.m. at the City Park in Cristoval. There will be an egg hunt for children and some activities for adults. The Easter Bunny will also be around. Egg-hiding volunteers should show up at 8:30 a.m. Easter Family Clay Day is from 10 a.m. to noon at the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts, One Love Street. There will be free clay activities, an Easter egg gallery hunt, and tours of the National Ceramic Competition. Sunset Mall Eggstravaganza begins at 10:30 a.m. on April 16th at 4001 Sunset Drive. Children will hunt for 8,000 eggs throughout the mall, win giveaways from participating stores, crafts and coloring, and have the opportunity for pictures with the Easter Bunny. Easter Eggstravaganza is set for noon to 5 p.m. at the Nature Center, 7409 Knickerbocker Road. There will be crafts, face painting, and an egg hunt at 2 p.m. Cost $3 for ages 13 and older, $2 for ages 12 and 4, free for 3 and younger. There will be a photo booth at the Hive Studio, 9 West Beauregard, with the Easter Bunny on Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. The bunny will be handing out goodie bags to the kids, and there will be hidden eggs with discount coupons from the store vendors. A free Easter egg hunt will start at 4 p.m. at Sports Next Level, 2838 College Hills Boulevard. April 17th. Chef's Easter Brunch Buffet is at Angry Cactus, 1 West Concho Avenue, at 10 a.m. Cost is $22 per person. Reservations are recommended. Call 325-703-6999. Easter at the Paseo de Santa Angela is at 10 a.m. at 58 East Avenue D. There will be worship, lunch, and an egg hunt for the kids. Doorbell camera leads to arrest for trailer theft in Cristoval. By Elena Edgen, published April 11th. A San Angelo man could face up to 20 years in prison after a doorbell camera in Cristoval caught a trailer theft, according to court documents released Monday, April 11th. On January 9th, a Cristoval business owner contacted the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office to report a theft. The owner's black 2019 enclosed utility trailer went missing from behind her business in the 19,000 block of Main Street, according to an arrest affidavit. 10 days later, the owner told deputies a neighbor had a video from their Ring doorbell camera. The video showed a black truck hauling the missing trailer between 12:26 a.m. and 12:49 a.m. on January 9th. The owner recognized the truck and gave deputies a name, records state. Deputies found the trailer, along with the owner's personal papers and tools, inside a metal building in the 5200 block of Cristoval Road. The company that owned the building stated a man had been using the building for a fencing business and gave that man's cell number, according to the affidavit. A search revealed the phone was in the area during the time of the theft, records state. Wiley Yater Davis, 40, was arrested February 12th on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000 and a misdemeanor theft charge. He was released 3 days later on an $8,000 bond, according to online jail records. An indictment, filed in March, charged Davis with the property theft charge, which is a state jail felony. Due to prior convictions for possession of methamphetamine in 2014, and assault on a family member impeding breath circulation in 2010, the theft charge has been enhanced. It has been enhanced to a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for May, according to online court records. San Angelo's Garland Freeze spent a lifetime serving his country and community. By Dudra Butler, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published April 9th. On Monday, April 4th, America lost a true patriot in the truest sense of the phrase. Garland Emerson Freeze proudly served his country for 24 years, retiring as Chief Warrant Officer 4. Born 81 years ago in Columbus, Ohio, to parents Emerson and Florence Freeze, he lived out a life of service to God, family, and country. Upon enlisting in the military, the young airman's first assignment was at Goodfellow Air Force Base. It was right here in San Angelo that he came in contact with a young lady named Clara Butler. On October 21st, 1960, the couple wed. At the time of Garland's passing, they were 6 months shy of celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary. I did a piece about Garland and Clara for their 50th anniversary, where I spoke of my close relationship with my mother's sister, Clara. Due to my single mother's work, my aunt and uncle took their 5-year-old niece to live with the newlyweds in San Antonio, where Garland was stationed at the time. Therefore, I recently rubbed it in, telling my cousin, Perry Freeze, that I was the first. Their 4 children came later. Garland Jr., Perry, Renarda, and Garlanda. After Garland's first retirement, the family settled down in San Angelo in 1983. Garland first worked for the Texas Employment Commission for 2 years before beginning his second career at the U.S. Postal Service. After 20 years there, with the last 6 of those as a postmaster, he retired for good in 2003. For someone that had completed 2 full careers, you would think they were done. No, not my Uncle Freeze. He then set sail into his new purpose of giving back to his community. He served on a myriad of boards, in addition to serving as president of Unit 6219 of the San Angelo NAACP for a total of 10 years. I would be remiss if I did not mention that Garland was also a proud member of the Shannon Hospital Auxiliary Volunteers. This group was very dear to him right up to the end. A few years ago, Garland was a recipient of the coveted NAACP State Conference Torchbearer Award. Speaking of the local NAACP chapter, I had the great honor of serving as vice president under my uncle for some 6 years for that historic organization. I spoke to a few of Garland's colleagues and friends, as there wasn't much difference. If you were one of them, the other was a no-brainer. Craig Myers voiced, "San Angelo has lost a leading citizen." During his years as president of the NAACP, Garland was extremely effective. I was privileged to share the co-chairmanship of the Redress Committee, the entity that handled discrimination and justice issues. When Garland spoke truth to power, power had to listen. He never made personality an issue. Therefore, most cases were settled privately. But if necessary, he would risk personal cost to deal with the issue, whether it involved the police, school boards, and large or small businesses. Garland is gone. However, his fingerprints are permanently imprinted on the life of San Angelo, lamented Myers. Former city councilwoman Billy DeWitt shared that Garland Freeze was truly a man for all seasons. She said his strength of character was demonstrated based on qualities noted in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Peaceful, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness. He was a loyal friend and a devoted, dedicated servant to the San Angelo community, she said. Garland's appointment to the City of San Angelo Development Corporation allowed his skills as a savvy businessman to be displayed as he discharged his duties on that board. As president of the NAACP, Garland was an inspirational leader whose qualities of greatness showed in his professionalism, his respectful treatment of those who served with him, and in his commitment to the position. His presence here on Earth will be sorely missed, said DeWitt. Guy Andrews, director of COSADC, had similar views on Garland, stating he was a great gentleman who was soft-spoken, but earned great respect with his encouragement and words of wisdom, and he will truly be missed by those of us who knew and loved him. Andrews summed up all assertions of Garland Freeze, saying, "I can hear the words he must have heard as he stepped into heaven. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done." San Angelo man arrested after police pursuit ends with shots fired, meth found, by Elena Edgen, published April 8th. A man is facing multiple felony charges after a pursuit in North San Angelo led to police officers being shot at, according to a police news release issued Friday. About 6:16 p.m. Thursday, April 7th, police attempted a traffic stop on a gray Dodge Charger near the intersection of East 7th and Volney Street. Officers identified the driver, as a man with multiple felony warrants, according to the release. The driver did not stop and attempted to evade officers, which led to a pursuit. During the pursuit, the driver started to shoot at pursuing police vehicles. He stopped the Dodge in the 500 block of South Lincoln Street, where police arrested him, according to the release. An investigation revealed the man had multiple firearms, body armor, and suspected methamphetamine, according to the police. Police arrested Jason Michael Lujan, 31, Thursday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon against a police officer, possession of methamphetamine, evading arrest detention, and several warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $67,500 bond as of 2 p.m. Friday, according to online jail records. Additional charges will be coming, according to the release. The San Angelo Standard-Times has requested further information, which has not been released as of 2 p.m. Friday. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office makes statement regarding video of alleged assault, by Rosanna Frere, published April 8th. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office issued a release Friday to address allegations of their involvement in a recorded assault. The Sheriff's Office stated it was aware of a video that was posted on YouTube of an alleged assault that occurred in Tom Green County on April 1st. The two individuals depicted in the video are not Tom Green County Sheriff's Office personnel, a news release stated. Sheriff deputies have taken a report on this incident and it is being investigated. When the investigation is completed, the case will be referred to the appropriate prosecutor, the release stated. The sheriff's office has received numerous telephone calls regarding this video, according to the release. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office would request that the public not call in regarding this incident, as the amount of calls being received is inhibiting citizens' ability to call in for actual calls for service. Angelo State professor named Fellow of Royal Historical Society in UK, by Tom Newry, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published April 7th. Dr. Sarah Lynch of the Angelo State University History Faculty has been elected a Fellow of the Royal Historical Society, the United Kingdom's foremost society for historians, based at University College London. RHS fellowships are awarded on merit to historians, university faculty, and other individuals who have made an original contribution to historical scholarship, typically through the authorship of a book, a body of scholarly work similar in scale and impact to a book, the organization of exhibitions and conferences, the editing of journals and other works of diffusion, and dissemination grounded in historical research. Individuals applying for a fellowship must be supported by an existing RHS fellow, and applications are reviewed by existing fellows for approval and election. "It's a huge honor for me to be named a Fellow of the Royal Historical Society," Lynch said. "It's even more meaningful because I realize how far I've come as a first-generation college student who worked three jobs while getting my PhD. I am so very grateful to my family, friends, and colleagues who helped get me here. A native of Ireland and an assistant professor of history, Lynch joined the ASU faculty in 2016. A specialist in medieval history and education, she teaches undergraduate courses in European history and culture, medieval Europe, history of education, magic and the supernatural, and climate history. A prolific researcher and author, Lynch has published two books, Medieval Pedagogical Writings, An Epitome, 2018, and Elementary and Grammar Education in Late Medieval France, Lyon, 1285 to 1530, 2017, as well as numerous articles in historical journals, including History of Education Quarterly, Bulletin of International Medieval Research, and Espacio Tiempo e Educación. She has also contributed chapters to several essay collections on history, and she has presented her research to at over 30 professional conferences in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and Ireland. In 2021, Lynch was selected to the inaugural class of ASU Provost's Scholars, who are awarded a course release to conduct research and other scholarly activities. She's using the time to continue preparation of two new books for publication, Medieval Education, An Epitome, and The Medieval Year. She also has a forthcoming essay on education and work in A Cultural History of Youth in the Medieval Age, expected to be published later this year. Since coming to Angelo State, Dr. Sarah Lynch has been no stranger to awards and honors, said Dr. Jason Pierce, chair of ASU's Dr. Arnaldo de Leon Department of History. Her election as a fellow of the Royal Historical Society shows that her work has attracted wide critical acclaim. Her research also informs her classes on medieval history, which are among the most popular in the department. She is truly an asset to our students and to the Ram family as a whole. Lynch has been nominated for an ASU President's Award for Faculty Excellence in Research and an ASU Gary and Pat Rogers Distinguished Faculty Award, and she received a 2018 Olivia Remy Constable Award from the Medieval Academy of America. She earned her bachelor's degree from University College Dublin, her master's degree from Trinity College Dublin, and her PhD from the University of Leeds in England. More details on all of ASU's history programs and faculty can be found at angelo.edu/history. Tom Neary Jr. is a news and information specialist in the ASU Office of Communications and Marketing. A belated 100th birthday wish to St. Angelo's Marie Starks by Dudra Butler, special to the St. Angelo Standard Times, published April 7th. Have you ever considered what it takes to live to be 100 years of age? It might not be as easy as you think. Generally speaking, most are not blessed to reach that magical number. However, if one is blessed to reach the centenarian status, they are indeed part of an elite club. Have you ever dreamed of or imagined breaking a sports record that has stood for decades? Well, this is what living to see your 100th birthday is like. You will receive extra attention from your family and friends, and even local media takes notice. Hence, a week ago, Marie Starks was featured in a local news story titled, St. Angelo Officials Help Celebrate 100th Birthday of Special St. Angelo Resident. The special luncheon included Sally and Craig Myers, Mayor Brenda Gunter, and Police Chief Frank Carter, who said, I've known her for years. She would always be sitting on her porch on 17th Street, and I'd stop to visit, and we became good friends. Marie Starks turned 100 on Wednesday, April 6th. She was born Marie Richardson Starks on April 6th, 1922, in Lockhart, Texas, in Caldwell County, to Elijah and Willie Mae Richardson. The family relocated to San Angelo in 1924 when she was two. She attended Carver Elementary through the sixth grade. At an early age, she was required to labor in the cotton fields, causing her to delay her education for a short time. However, that did not deter Starks from the desire to further her education. Therefore, she enrolled and attended night classes to obtain her GED. For many years, she worked in housekeeping in the original San Angeles Hotel and later as housekeeper for Dr. Clint Johnson. In 1968, Ms. Starks was employed at Angelo State College, ASU, in custodian services. Later, she was assigned as the personal custodian to Dr. Lloyd Vincent in the president's office. She worked dutifully for 20 years at the university. Many students remember her as the lady with the white turban that fed hungry students in the university center. As a college student in the mid to late 70s, I loved running into her, as she was a woman from my community whom I had the utmost respect for. She always had a pleasant smile and great conversation. I believed she was proud to see me at ASU obtaining an education. Over the years, Starks's faith has never wavered, as she was a long-term member of Brown Chapel CME Church. In 1970, she united with Galilee Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of Reverend A.J. Williams. For many years, she sang in the church choir and served in the women's auxiliary. Starks' community service is well known in the community, from keeping membership in the local NAACP chapter and Blackshear Reunion participant to involvement in a variety of church programs and banquets. This she did regularly until she moved to a local care facility. I visited with a few of Ms. Starks' closest friends who were delighted to share some stories and unforgettable memories of their time spent with her. Craig Myers said, "Sally and I have had the privilege of looking after Ms. Starks for the last 10 years. We have had many long talks, brought things she needed, prayed with her, and listened to her stories, and especially loved hearing her faith through her singing." He went on, "There is not enough time or people to tell all of the stories and remembrances of Ms. Starks, but there is one thing that stands out in good times and bad, through laughter and tears. That is her absolute and unshakable faith," said Myers. "I marvel at her, because every time we sit and pray before leaving her and saying goodbye, in her still strong voice, she can be heard up and down the hall, and everyone knows they are invited to get their feet wet and wade into the water." Marie Starks's dear friend, Ralph Powell, says that he used to be at her house nearly every day for several years. Either they'd just visit, or he'd take her something he cooked. If she fell, she'd call him to help her get up. Powell would take her to Walmart to get groceries and just sit out there until she got what she wanted. Upon returning to her home on 17th, he'd then help her put up the groceries, Powell said. "You know, Ms. Starks is a woman of Black history. She has obituaries from way back in the early 30s and 40s. You can go to her and find out anything that you need answers for. She knows everything about Blackshear and the Blackshear community, bar none. And not just that community. She knows San Angelo upside down, inside out, backwards and forward. I'd say she possesses a wealth of information." Another dear friend, Christine Harden, told me that Ms. Starks was her running buddy. She remembered Starks's 96th birthday, where she, Starks, and Starks's late daughter Edna rode in a limousine. And oh, the joy and the laughter. Harden took her to Austin to see her son Pete when he was sick. "Starks is a good person to travel with because she talks all the time," Christine said, "and there is never a dull moment. She even partied with them when Christine's husband, Larry, retired a few years back. She was the life of the party, dancing with her walker, said Christine. I love her and will always be there. Although the actual birthday was April 6th, Marie Starks will be the honoree at a 100th birthday party thrown by her son, Pete Starks, on Saturday, April 9th. I'd like to make a wish to my longtime friend. Here's to 100 years of memories and 100 years of life. You are very special, and surely honor is due for all the great experiences life has given you. You've done more in a lifetime than others could dream of, and you are the most amazing 100-year-old person that most people have ever known or seen. May your special day be filled with sunshine, smiles, laughter, and love, which is exactly what you've brought the world for 10 decades. My desire for whatever time I have on this earth is to emulate your spirit. And in your words, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Happy 100th birthday, Marie Starks. And in the words of our dear friend, Dr. Ralph Chase, God loves you, and so do we. And here is the column from Allison Watkins. How to protect beneficial insects in your yard and garden. Special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published April 7th. Many hoped that one silver lining from the winter storm last year would be less insect pests, but unfortunately, many seemed worse than ever. Grasshoppers, caterpillars, and aphids had particularly large populations last year. Temperature doesn't have as much of an impact on insects as water does, or the lack of it. But while many homeowners focus on controlling pests in their yard and garden, it's important to remember to protect the beneficial insects. They're crucial to maintaining a healthy landscape and productive garden. There are several categories of beneficial insects: pollinators, predators, and parasitoids. Pollinators help provide many delicious crops like watermelon, squash, and peaches. Since bee populations have shown concerning declines in recent years, we should consider them when planning and managing the home garden and landscape. The easiest way to protect local bees is to be careful with pesticide application. Pollinators like bees and butterflies are sensitive to insecticides, and overuse can reduce their numbers. Only use pesticides when needed, and then be sure to use the correct product and follow the label directions. Try to use the most targeted product possible, instead of broad spectrum and only apply to the plant in question. Chemical pesticides can be helpful if used properly and moderately, but overuse can lead to worse pest populations because of the effect on beneficial predators and parasitoids. Predators are insects that kill and consume other insects. Some are specialized, like ladybugs and green lacewings. They are particularly fond of aphids. Others have more broad taste, like praying mantis. They will eat whatever they can catch. Parasitoids are parasitic insects that lay eggs on a host and kill it as they develop. Together, these beneficial insects do a lot to keep pests, insect populations down in the yard and garden. Another way to help bees and butterflies is to plant pollinator-friendly plants. Some great choices for the Concho Valley include catmint, Greg's mist flower, lantana, bee balm, blackfoot daisy, esperanza, African blue basil, black-eyed Susan, bulbean, globe mallow, salvia, zinnia, and Turk's cap. Insects are often seen as unwelcome guests to the garden, and while some can be very damaging, remember that there are many that we need. It is a fine balance. When insects are found in the landscape, correct identification is important before attempting to control them. For help in identifying, feel free to contact the Extension Office with a photo or sample. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.